You know, today we're thinking probably more about time than we do on a normal Sunday. This is one of the 2 days during the year when we mess with the clocks. I don't like changing times. I just assume they all stay, it just would stay the same. But, you know, if everybody else is going to change, you have no choice. You have to change as well. But time is what life is made up of. And God has put a strong desire in all of us to live. We find life precious, and God made us that way. I read the story of Joseph Stalin when he lay dying. He was a dictator in Russia. And when he lay dying, he called the doctors from all over Europe. And he offered them fabulous, fabulous amounts of money if they could just extend his life. And of course, not one of them could. But he found out that all the treasures in the world don't compare to a moment of life, an extension of life. I was talking to one of our church members the other day. He's about the same age I am, but he has a lot more gray hair than I do. I won't name his name because of that reason. That's one of the reasons I get my hair cut short. The gray goes away some. I'm also cheap. I like to make my haircuts last. And so, but I was talking to him. I said, hey, do you dread getting old? He said, no. I mean, the alternative is to die. And I know I'm going to heaven, but I'd just soon live as opposed live and get old as opposed to not live and not get old. And so we track our life by time. Let me just remind you of a couple things about time. Now, this is not my message. This is just my introduction. So don't start counting 1, 2, 3 and say, boy, he's done already. That's not going to happen. But I'll just remind you by way of introduction that time was made by God. In the book of Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And so God established time when he put the sun and the moon in the sky and divided our time into days and weeks and years and seasons. Time is also tracked by God. God told Abraham that his descendants would be captive for 400 years in Egypt. And they went into Egypt and were captive. And when the years that God had told Abraham expired, he brought them out, the Bible says, the selfsame day, the very day. God knows how to keep track of time. He told his people, hey, if you don't repent, you're going to go into captivity in Babylon. And you're going to be there for 70 years. They didn't repent. They went into captivity. And again, 70 years, the full 70 years, when that 70 years was up, King Cyrus issued that decree that they could leave. So God made time. He knows how to track it. And as we read from the book of Ecclesiastes, passage of scripture that Pastor Knight read from yesterday at Beulah's funeral, a passage of scripture I read from most funerals that I have, God has established a time for every purpose under the heavens. We read it. Time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to weep, and a time to laugh. And God has appointed a time for every purpose under the heaven. And one of the great things about time, and one of the great things about God, is that God is not bounded by time. Do you ever stop and think that when we get to heaven, there's going to be no night? If there's no night, there's no time. We sing that song. It's one of my favorite songs, Amazing Grace. And the last verse says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. Well, if there's no time in heaven, how are we going to know we've been there 10,000 years? We're not. And so one of the great things about heaven, one of the great things about eternity, is that we don't have to count the days and the years. We're going to be in heaven for eternity, and we're not going to get any older. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Now, that's my introduction. This morning, my message is to talk to you about today. Today. So I'm going to take a little period of time, 24 hours, that we call a day, and tell you some things about today. Today. Number one, today is the only day that you have to live your life. I want you to stop and think about it. Today is the only day that you have to live your life. Life is not comprised of yesterdays and tomorrows. Life is only comprised of today's. Yesterday is gone. Can't go back and revisit yesterday. And tomorrow is only a hope. Today is the only day that you and I have to live our life. That's why the Bible says in the book of Psalm 118, verse 24, "This is the day which the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." I was talking to a pastor at the funeral dinner yesterday, pastor that Carol went up and played the piano. She agreed to play the piano for him for a year, and he kept her 3 years, instead of a year. And I can understand that, Carol. But I was talking to him, and he's fighting cancer. And he's in remission, but he says, "I want to tell you," he says, "I get up every day, and I thank God for this day. I thank God that I can get out of bed. I thank God that I can take breath into my lungs. I thank God that I can do the things that he's ordained for me to do today." He says, "I don't know about tomorrow." He said, "Yeah, I'm in remission, but it could come back. And I don't know about tomorrow." He says, "And so I take today and I try to pack into today everything that I can." Now, that's true for all of us. You may not have cancer. You may not have something that's going to kill you tomorrow or the next day. But realize that today, just today, is the only day that you and I have to live. That's why the Bible says for us to number our days. In Psalm chapter 90, verse 12, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Psalm 39, 4, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am." I've heard stories, and you've heard stories. In fact, I was reminded of this a couple weeks ago. I ran into some people I used to work with, and they told me about a man that, in fact, a man that I hired. So he was a man that I knew, and he worked for me for a while. I hired him. They said, "Hey, did you hear that so-and-so passed away?" I said, "No, I didn't hear that." I said, "Was he still working?" And they said, "No, he retired a week ago." He retired. So he worked 40-some years and retired, expecting to enjoy a retirement, and he was retired for 1 week. And I always tell Don's father-in-law, Earl Hart, Earl was retired, I think, about twice as long as he worked, if I remember right, Don. I remember him telling me something like that. That's the way I want to be. I want to live. I want to enjoy my retirement twice as long as it worked. I don't know if I'll make it or not. But what I asked him. I asked the people I work with. I said, "Well," and I told them, I said, "Well, I hope he enjoyed life as he worked, because if he waited until he retired to enjoy life, he sure didn't get to enjoy it much." And again, my point is this: we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the next day. The only day that we have for sure is today. And so my message, the first part of my message this morning is, don't live your life in the past. Memories are a wonderful thing, and it's wonderful to have great memories and to look back on things. But your life is not comprised of the past. And it's wonderful to have dreams, what you're going to do tomorrow, next week, next year. It's wonderful to have those dreams, but your life does not consist of tomorrows. You can't live your life tomorrow. You can't live your life yesterday. The only day that you can live your life is today. Now, again, I'm not saying you ought not to plan. I'm not saying you ought not to save. I'm for all those things. But what I'm saying is, don't put off today living your life and doing the things that God has ordained you to do until tomorrow, when you can do them today, because tomorrow you may not get. Tomorrow you may not have the same opportunity that you have today. So let me give you some examples. You ought to love your spouse today. I had a guy tell me on Friday, said, "I told my wife 40 years ago when we got married, I love her. And if anything ever changes, I'll let her know." And I went over to the top of his head and I went like this. Not that hard, but I knocked him in the head. I said, "Why would you say something like that?" I said, "Is that really true, or are you just telling your preacher that?" He said, "Well, I think there's a couple times I told her that I loved her in that 40 years. Is that really true, or are you just saying that? Well, maybe more than a couple times. I knocked him in the head 3 times. I said, you ought to go home and tell her today. And you ought to tell her tomorrow. And you ought to tell her the next day. You ought to tell her every day that you love her. Wives, you ought to tell your husbands every day that you love them. You only have today to do that. Don't live in the past. Don't say, well, I told her. She knows. I told her when we got married. I told her, you know, our last anniversary. That's wonderful. You ought to told her that you loved her when you got married. You ought to told her that you loved each other on your anniversary. But what about today? What about today? Tell them today. The only time that you have to tell them is today. Same thing. The only time that you have to spend with your family is today. So many times we put off our children and we put off our grandchildren. I was really suffering this week. I got up this morning and I realized I hadn't seen my grandkids for a whole week. I was gone Monday and Tuesday. We didn't have church on Wednesday night. It's been 7 days since I've seen my grandkids. That's only happened probably one other time in all the time, the 8 years that I've had grandchildren. I got up and I said, man, no wonder I feel so bad this morning. I haven't seen my grandkids for a whole week. Now, I tried to give them all three a hug. I only got one. And she couldn't run. She was captive. But listen, the only time you have to love on your kids and to love on your grandkids are today. We get so busy doing other things. We say, well, I'll take care of that tomorrow. I'll take care of that next week. Pretty soon, I'm learning they're going to be so big that they don't want to spend time with grandpa and grandma. Other things become more important. And again, I hope that doesn't happen that where they exclude me altogether, but I'm going to enjoy the time today that they're willing to spend time with me and not wait till tomorrow, because I don't know if I'm going to have tomorrow or not. I don't know if they're going to want to have anything to do with me tomorrow. So I want to enjoy that today. That's why I tell you, every time we sing birthdays and we celebrate anniversaries, I tell you, celebrate big. Celebrate big. You never know. And again, I'm not trying to be morbid this morning. I'm just telling you the truth. You never know if you're going to have the next one to celebrate. You never know if you're going to have an opportunity to tell that one that you love them, to tell your children and your grandchildren you love them. You never know if you're going to have the opportunity to spend more time with them. Take it today. Don't waste today. Don't put off till tomorrow what you have the opportunity today, because today is the only day that we have to live our life. Today is the only day that we have to have fellowship with our friends. Don't let petty disagreements keep you from being with your friends and having good times with your friends. Again, we don't know how long we're going to have them. We don't know how many opportunities we're going to have to fellowship with them, to have good times with them. And so don't put those times off. Don't let the little irritations of life come between you and your friends. Today is the only day that you have to be with them. Today is the only day that you have to enjoy them. Go ahead and enjoy them. Go ahead and be with them. Today is the only day that we have to live our life. Live it today. Number two, today is the only day we have to serve God. Jesus knew this. He said in John chapter 9, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. That's why we're instructed in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 28. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. If you have somebody that needs something, don't say to them, hey, come back tomorrow. I'll give you what you need tomorrow when you have it today. You never know if tomorrow's going to come. You never know if you're going to have the opportunity to help that person. I read a story, oh, it's been years ago, about a church in Texas. They were raising money to build a building. And the pastor asked all the members to pray about what the Lord would have them give. And about 4 weeks from that Sunday, he was going to have a special Sunday where they'd all bring their offerings in and it all go toward the building. And so on Tuesday of the following week, so we made that announcement on Sunday. On Tuesday of the following week, a man came in, said, "Pastor, my wife and I have prayed about it, and I have a check I want to give you today for the building fund." And he pulled out a check and handed it to the pastor, and the pastor looked at it, and the check was made out for $10,000. Now, he looked at the guy and says, "How can you afford this?" Now, by the way, if you ever do that to me, I won't ask you that question. I'm just teasing. But he says, "Hey, you know, I know a little bit about your family. I know your situation. How can you afford to give this much money?" And the guy looked at him and said, "Pastor, I was raised in this church. I was saved and baptized in this church. My wife was raised in this church. She was saved and baptized in this church. We met in this church. We got married in this church. Our two children were born while we were members of this church. We prayed about it, and God told us to give this amount. And so I wrote this check, and I'm bringing it to you today." And the pastor said, "Okay, wonderful. Why don't you just keep it? We're going to have our offering in about 4 weeks, and then you can put it in the offering." Now, I would never tell you that either. But anyhow, the guy said, "No, Pastor, the Lord told us what to do, and I know what to do, and here it is. I would just like to give it today." And the pastor said, "Okay, I'll take your check. We won't deposit it into the bank until we have our special Sunday. We'll just keep it here at the church in the safe until that Sunday comes." A week later, a friend of this guy invited him to go on a trip. They were going to take a small airplane, and he invited two other friends, so there were four of them going. And they were going to fly from Texas up to Denver and then to California. And they made it to Denver, but when they took off from Denver to go to California in the Rocky Mountains, the plane went down. They were never heard from again. So 3 weeks later, when the church had the special Sunday for everybody to give, that man's widow and his two children were sitting in the seat. And the pastor, as the offering plate was passed, took that $10,000 check that he had, that he got from that guy, and put it in the offering plate. And he was reminded of the fact. The guy said, "I know what God wants me to do today. I don't want to put it off. I want to do it now while I can." Now, I tell you that story to say this. If God's told you to do something, don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till next week. If you know what God wants you to do, go ahead and do it today. Go ahead and do it today. And again, some of you might be saying, "Boy, the preacher's really morbid today. Tell me I'm going to die." I've told you before, I hope nobody else dies. I'd just soon go out of the funeral having business. It was a glorious day yesterday because we know where Beulah is. She's in heaven, 104 years on this earth, but now walks the street of heaven. But I'm not saying that anybody's going to die. We're all going to die sooner or later if the Lord doesn't come. My point is, if God has instructed you to do something, don't wait. Do it now. Because the day is the day. Today is the day, the only day that you have to serve him. And then number three, today is the only day that you have to get saved. Today. Today. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Listen, every single one of us are sinners. The Bible tells us there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. The penalty for sin is to be separated from God. We talked about it a little bit in Sunday school this morning, where Jesus told the Jews that if they were depending on their heritage to get them into the kingdom of God, they were wrong, and they were going to be cast into outer darkness. And we talked about how our outer darkness represents being separated from the presence of God. That's the penalty of sin. God's a holy, righteous God, and our sin separates us from him. And so we're all sinners. We all are under the condemnation and the penalty of sin. But the gospel, the good news of the Bible, is Jesus paid the price that we owed. while we were yet sinners, he commended his love toward us in that he died for us. He paid the price. He suffered separation from God. He paid the price that we owe. And because he did, he can offer to every single person a gift, the gift of life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the Bible says, if we receive that, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. If we receive what he did for us on Calvary, we can be saved from the penalty of sin. We can be saved to life. We can be saved and be right with God and be part of the family that he created us to be a part of. You can't do that yesterday. You can't get saved yesterday. You can't get saved tomorrow. The only day that you have to get saved is today. Today. Let me ask you this morning. Would you do that? If you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, would you take advantage of today? I always tell people, today's the easiest day you're going to have to get saved. If you wait, if you get another opportunity to be saved, it's going to be harder next time because your heart will be a little bit more calloused. It'll be easier for you to say no the next time. Why would you wait? Why would you wait? Why would you risk the chance of going into eternity without having your sins paid for? If you're here today, I invite you to come to Christ and to get saved today. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for today. This is the day that you've made for each of us. It's the only day we have to live our life. It's the only day we have to serve you. It's the only day that we have to get saved. And I pray for those that are in this service this morning that's never received Christ. Help them, Holy Spirit, to see their sin. Help them to see the penalty that's associated with that sin, and help them to see what Jesus did for them on Calvary's cross when he took all of our sin upon himself and paid the price that we owe. Gives us an opportunity to escape the condemnation and the penalty of sin by simply coming to him and trusting him and what he did for Calvary for us. And so if whether it's a man or a woman or a young man or a young woman or a teenager, Father, if they're here and they've never made that decision, I pray right now that you bring them to the Savior. That, again, you'd show them their sin and the penalty for that sin and what Jesus did for them, and they would come. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us to live our life today. Help us to not put it off till tomorrow. Help us. This is a day that you've made for us. You put into today opportunities for us to spend time with those that we love. You filled this day with opportunities for us to serve you. I pray we wouldn't waste those opportunities. That we'd pack today with all the good things and all the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. And we would enjoy them. And we would live today. So speak to our hearts. Convict us. Help us to do what you tell us to do. First, in Christ's name, I pray. Amen.